Well, hello everyone, and welcome to our Catholic News podcast, the first of 2025. And fittingly, we have a very important person in the studio with us today. Honoured to have the Lord Mayor of Westminster in the studio, and I'll try and get the formal address right here. The Right Worshipful Lord Mayor of Westminster, Councillor Robert Rigby. Lord Mayor, how are you doing?
I'm very well, and thank you for getting my title absolutely spot on. It's still very difficult to believe that I am the Right Worshipful Lord Mayor of Westminster, but that is who I am, and it's a fantastic position to be in, but thank you for inviting me.
No pleasure. It's great to have you here because I've seen so many stories. I know we still have 3 months of the mayoral year to go, but my goodness, you've been active.
I have been active, and you're right, it is 3 months left. I came to the office in May of last year, and I depart the stage on the 14th of May of this year, and I'll hand the baton on to my successor. Obviously, I'm not sure who that is. But yes, I've been pretty active, to be honest. I suppose that's in my DNA. But, you know, being Lord Mayor is not a one-person gig. I'm very lucky and blessed to have a good team behind me, and they've been fantastic, especially somebody who looks after my PR. He's been banging my drum hard, wow, as it were, with the Catholic community, and they've responded positively, which is great.
I should hope so. It's all good stuff. And on that, actually, I mean, we will go chronologically through, because I'm very interested as to how you have become the man you've become. But in terms of faith, I mean, I was going to make a bold declaration that you're the first Catholic Lord Mayor of Westminster, but that's not quite right, is it?
No, it's not. I think I'm sort of the most recent active Catholic Lord Mayor, because to be honest, my faith's important to me, and as a result of that, I'm not shy about talking about it. I was educated actually by the Benedictines, so I'm proud about that, and that instilled within me certain characteristics that have stuck with me in my life. I come from a Catholic family, and yeah, I'm an active Catholic. I do go to church regularly, and I find it a great source of inspiration for me. So I want to sort of bring that through to what is a very high profile position, and it gives me a great benchmark to work from.
Some people obviously sort of and are about whether they should be vocal about their faith, particularly in public life. Do you find it an advantage, or is there ever a hesitancy in that?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, as I say, it's given me a good benchmark to work from. Obviously, I have to be selective and careful about how I talk about it, because, you know, I'm the first citizen of City of Westminster, some 210,000 residents, businesses, etc. So I'm representing them. So I'm representing all faiths, all individuals, all diverse communities. So, yes, I can obviously talk about being a Catholic, but also I'm representing the other communities. So, given the appropriate occasions, I will talk about it, but then there are obviously some occasions where perhaps I won't.
Oh, fair enough. And that faith element permeates even when it comes to your choice of charities for the mayoral year, because I noticed the Cardinal Hume Centre, Cardinal Hume obviously being a Benedictine, that's coming through, isn't it?
Absolutely. As Lord Mayor, you're encouraged to do a number of things in your year, one of which is to choose a number of charities. I was given some sound advice by a colleague some years, well, actually when I was selected to be Lord Mayor. I was going to say some years prior to being Lord Mayor, but that's not the case, because you don't know you're going to be Lord Mayor actually until maybe 6 months before the D-Day. We have a two-party system in Westminster, and your party nominate you. Obviously crazy if you don't accept it, but and then your name goes forward to full council, where the other party then hopefully endorse your nomination. But no, the charities are an important role to play for the Lord Mayor, and the advice that I was given is obviously choose charities that are special to you, that you feel some affiliation with, but also remember, if possible, to choose a charity that has fundraising ability. Because clearly the office that I have, and as I said to you, they're a great team. I have a team of about 5 to 6 people. They're not there to do charitable work. They're there to look after me, make sure I get from A to B, and you know, accept the engagements that need to be accepted, etc. So the two charities I chose, very personal to me. The first one, which you've obviously mentioned, is the Cardinal Hume Centre, which do a great job here in Westminster around youth and homelessness. Also, that has a very personal affiliation with me, because as I mentioned earlier, I was educated by the Benedictines in a location up in North Yorkshire, Ampleforth. And in fact, I recall the time It was back in 1976, and I was just in the upper school then, when the great bell at Ampleforth started tolling. And it was at that moment we knew that something special was happening, because Abbot Cardinal Hume was the abbot, and he'd basically been selected. So there's a personal connection there, so I was really delighted to be able to support them, and I think they've been delighted with what I've done. And the other one, because, again, it's something we might be talking about, I'm a great active in terms of sport. I love sport. There are two sports that I really enjoy. Running, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a moment, but also cricket. And there's the MCC Foundation. Now, the MCC is the Marylebone Cricket Club. The image is one of stuffiness and oldie-woldiness, but they do a fantastic job at their charitable arm. It's called the MCC Foundation. It is a global reach, but they do narrow down to the UK, but more specifically to Westminster, where they help boys and girls from the deprived part of the community, and give them a pathway to sport. And I thought that was a wonderful charity, so I chose them as well.
Well, we will talk about that, because I can, our listeners can't see it, but we do have a running top with the sort of chain motif for the Lord Mayor. I like that.
Well, indeed.
Look at that.
I'm holding that up for you. It's a pity your listeners can't see that, but yes, I mean, it's a blue T-shirt. It's got the Lord Mayor embossed across it and the chains, as you rightly say. And your listeners are probably thinking, well, why have I got that? And of course, at the back, it's got Lord Mayor of Westminster. Mm. Well, I've actually used this on more than one occasion. The first is the two charities that you mentioned. Obviously, it's all about fundraising and raising the profile. So I am a runner, and I thought, well, let's lead from the front. Let's not just talk the talk. Let's run the run. So I decided to run two half marathons, a half marathon for the Cardinal Hume Centre and a half marathon for the MCC Foundation. And on both occasions, I wore the T-shirt. And what was so fantastic there was on one of them that I was running at, of course, they don't know who I was. I mean, you know, I've got the bib. But they saw the Lord Mayor of Westminster. And of course, everyone was shouting, you know, Lord Mayor, Lord Mayor of Westminster, Lord Mayor, which was great. So wonderful opportunity to raise the profile and raise some serious money. Now, the other opportunity that I've used that is I thought in the year that I would have a sort of a brand platform to work from. So it was the inspiring activity, which is very vague and very open. But it's specifically inspiring activity amongst kids, primary kids. So I've been going into, I think we've got 42 primary schools in Westminster, going into those schools, obviously on the behest of the head teacher, and wearing the T-shirt, talking about what the Lord Mayor's all about, but also talking about something called the Daily Mile. It was an initiative set up by somebody in Scotland some 15 years ago. And as the name suggests, it is about Daily Mile. So it's walking, jogging, running, and ideally will be done on a daily basis. So it's talking to the school about that, the kids. And then I then lead the year six kids, if they have a playground, and we do a little sort of jog around the playground. And as I say, the reception that I've received has been really positive. Our active Westminster team in Westminster have been absolutely delighted, because they've been trying to promote the Daily Mile for many years. It had sort of got rather bogged down. So they've got a Lord Mayor who's active, who's promoting that. And as I say, it's gone down really well.
Lead by example. I like it.
Very much so. And what's also so fascinating about going into these schools is you see, you know, the wonderful work that the teachers are doing. But also at the end, I sort of open it up to question and answers. And that's actually the fun.
Risky.
It is risky, but that's the fun part. And some of the questions that I've been asked, one kid put his hand up and said, Lord Mayor, do you have a private jet? Well, no, I don't. I do have a car, of course, because I have to be driven around the city. Because, again, your listeners can't see, but I'm wearing one of three chains worth six figures, by the way.
Good grief.
So I can't necessarily sort of get on the tube with this.
We'll make sure you get out of here alive.
I hope you'll allow me to get out. it's been wonderful to be able to go into the schools and to talk about, as I say, the Lord Mayor. And then also some of the kids we invite back to the parlour as well at City Hall, which they enjoy. And then I do a sort of double act with Steve, who's my mace bearer, and also he's my driver. He's been around for 19 years, so he knows a lot about the history of Westminster and the Lord Mayor's position. We sort of do a double act, and that's great. And then we get on to football, which is even better.
Well, I have a footballer son, but I'm Maybe that'll come up, maybe it won't. I should say to our listeners at this point that I did see our photographer looming. So all these things that we've been describing in audio pictures, you will be able to see, because we'll pop those up with this podcast when we put it out there. Now, Lord Mayor, can I rewind a bit back to the beginning? You've obviously mentioned your Catholic faith. You've mentioned your schooling in the Benedictine tradition. Where were you born? Tell us a bit about your upbringing.
Yeah, well, I am a Londoner, believe it or not. I mean, people think if you're a Londoner, you'd be all Google blimey and all that. But no, I was born in North London. I lived in Muswell Hill. That's where my...
That's where I live.
Oh, right. Well, all the best people live in
there
Muswell
Hill.
There you go. Mind you, I don't live in Muswell Hill now, because to be a Lord Mayor, you've got to be a locally elected councillor in Westminster. And to be a councillor in Westminster, you need to live in the borough.
Yeah.
Obviously, I couldn't live in Muswell Hill. But I live actually in St John's Wood with my wife, Emiko. She's Japanese. Hopefully, we might be able to talk about that. Going back, yes, I'm one of three. I'm the middle son of three sons. I have an elder brother and a younger brother. Catholic family, as I say. My father was also educated at Ampleforth, so there's a bit of a family tradition, and my uncle. In fact, I had a Benedictine monk who was a relative. So there is a real connection there. But no, also having grown up in Muswell Hill, but then obviously being educated in North Yorkshire, gave me a different spin. I then went to what was the Polytechnic of North London. It became the University of North London, and I studied history. Before then launching myself into a career in marketing and sales, and ended up, originally worked in a financial PR company, moved across to a big West End advertising agency, and then thought, well, actually, I prefer to be on the client side, and then jumped to work for Japan Airlines for 20 years. So I still work in the travel sector, obviously not for Japan Airlines, but once you get travel in your DNA, it's there forever, so yeah. That's a potted history.
Wow.
Your listeners may be interested in knowing, you know, where all this sort of political thing came from.
Yeah, that was the next question.
Oh, is it? Well.
How did you gravitate towards...
Well, I suppose the Lord is looking down on me and giving me that inspiration. Well, my dear late father was very active in local politics. In fact, he was leader of what was Hornsey, which later became Haringey. And in fact, in his time as a local councillor in Hornsey, he was a mayor. He was a mayor in 1963.
Oh, and I have in the blood.
Well, it is, and I have a picture to prove it. There I am sitting on my mother's lap. I think I was 2 years old. I don't recall it. Isn't it ironic that some 60 years later that his middle son was to also become a mayor? But mind you, I'm a Lord Mayor. He was a mayor.
Yes.
So I suppose my political life has been sort of revolved around what my father did, and I suppose it's in my blood.
Is it that sort of desire to serve, or where does it come from, do you think?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It is that ability to make a difference. I mean, whenever you speak to a politician, the first thing they'll say, well, why did you get into politics? Well, you can make a difference. You can really honestly make a difference. And being a local council, I think you can make more of a difference than actually if you're a member of parliament, because there are small things that really matter to residents that you can, you know, you can empathise with, and you can normally at least listen, be a sounding board, and hopefully help solve those issues. You can't solve everything. But yes, it's also about giving back. I talked about my Benedictine upbringing. There are two strands in the rule of St. Benedict, and that is listening and humility. And I'll be honest with you, those two elements have really stuck with me, as I say, but they've also guided me, and they're a great source. Because being a politician, you need to obviously listen. You need to talk, of course. That's why I'm talking lots. But you need to be humble as well. You need to recognise the people you're serving, and basically to talk to them, not look down on them, and to understand their needs and their requirements.
And, so, without upsetting you then, how do you feel about the paraphernalia, the beautiful chains, the mace, the, you know, all the history and the tradition? And
I mean, some would look at it and think, well, that's all rather, you know, nice and glossy. But actually, what is that doing to the, you know, the man or the woman on the street, the resident that you're representing? One has to remember it is a very symbolic position, being mayor or Lord Mayor. And I think it's important, and it's only right that that should continue, because we have talked about politics, because, as I say, you have to be a politician to become Lord Mayor, councillor. But the position of Lord Mayor is a civic role. for the year you remove yourself entirely from politics. I don't do any casework because that's an important part of being a local councillor. You know, you are representing, as I said earlier, the residents of this wonderful city, which we call Westminster, the businesses, the communities, and we are very diverse in Westminster. So, you know, you do not go down that route of being political, and that's absolutely right. When I go to events, they're not coming to see Councillor Robert Rigby. They're coming to see the Lord Mayor of Westminster. And that's a great thrill, not only for them, but also for me. And it's a great privilege and a great honour.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Tell me how you interface with, I mean, you've got so much in Westminster.
Mm.
Perhaps we'll talk about some of those lighter, extraordinarily interesting things, like bringing the Christmas tree from Norway.
Well,
that's quite something. But tell me how you interface with the royal family and
yes, the
royal side of
things. Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, the beauty of being Lord Mayor of Westminster is, you know, you are representing Westminster. And as we know, without being patronising, Westminster is right at the centre of London and, dare I say it, right at the centre of the UK. And, of course, being at the centre, you know, we've got royalty, we've got government, we've got a lot of the embassies, we've got retail, we've got marvellous businesses, and, of course, we've got the communities. So you are in a position to interface and tap into all those. And, yes, you mentioned the royalty. I mean, how extraordinary it is to be able to meet, which I have done, the royal family, not on a one-to-one basis. That really doesn't happen, but at events that I attend. And if I may, I would like to tell you the first time I met the King.
Please do.
If your listeners would be interested. I mentioned in passing that my wife's Japanese, so I have a great love for Japan. And one of the great blessings of being Lord Mayor of Westminster is that we get in the city to experience the state visits. The first port of call they come to is Westminster. The Lord Mayor's not always blessed to have a state visit, but I have been, and in fact I had two this year. So the first one I had was the Emperor and Empress of Japan. Now, how lucky is that? I mean, God, it was obviously... Well, it's obviously that extra Hail Mary I said, but, you know, God was looking kindly on me. In fact, he and she, the Emperor and Empress of Japan, were due to come, in fairness, some years earlier, but I think something called COVID got in the way.
Oh, yes.
But no, how lucky was I? So when a visiting state comes, it's very ceremonial. Obviously, the royal family get heavily involved. There is a platform that is built on Horse Guards Parade. And basically, key dignitaries from this country all line up. So you've got the Prime Minister, the Foreign Secretary, you've got the Home Secretary, you've got the head of the Army, Navy, RAF, Metropolitan Police Commissioner, and the Lord Mayor, who's at the very end. So the King arrived with the Queen, and it was June, and it was a lovely day. And the King is then introduced to those in that line by the Lord Lieutenant. Then he stands, and we all then wait for the Emperor and Empress of Japan. Now, the Japanese are very fickle in terms of timekeeping, but unfortunately the Emperor was late, supposedly traffic. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the Emperor is then, and Empress are then introduced to those in the line by the King. So he comes down the line, and eventually he comes to me, and he turns to the Emperor and says, Your Majesty, this is the newly appointed Lord Mayor of Westminster. Remember, I'd just been installed in May, and I'm in my regalia. And, well, I speak a little Japanese, not a great deal, but I do. So I thought, well, Robert, go for it. So I bowed, and I said, Hajime mashite, watakushi wa Robert Rigby desu. Watakushi no okusama wa Nihonjin desu. Now, some of your listeners may well be fluent in Japanese. That basically means, Your Majesty, very nice to meet you. My name's Robert Rigby. Oh, and by the way, my wife is Japanese. Well, of course, the Emperor was surprised that a gaijin, foreigner, was speaking some Japanese. So a smile came over his face, which was great. I then turned to my left, where the King was standing, and he uttered one word, show off.
Brilliant.
Which was wonderful.
That's lovely. Do you know, funnily enough, I've only been to Japan once. I went to Tokyo in 2019. Might have been when I think that might have been when there was a new emperor and empress. And I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I literally thought, oh, I'm going to walk through the city. I want to go and watch the baseball, funnily enough.
Yes.
And it was a long way from where I was staying. It's quite a big city, isn't it? I didn't realise how big, actually.
It is.
So I was walking for hours and hours and hours, quite jet lagged. And suddenly, everything was being cordoned off. I think it was Golden Week, actually, and everything was being cordoned off. And I thought, well, what's going on here? Mm. People were sort of getting corralled to the side of the road. They had, you know, there were barricades up. So I knew obviously something important was happening.
Yeah.
Didn't really, in my ignorance, know what that was. And I just got pushed on my own onto like a street corner, basically.
Mm.
And there's me just happily waving away. And I thought, I think that's the Empress.
Wow.
So I've had a little encounter at a distance.
Well,
absolutely.
And remember, Japan has a population of about 120 million. The chances of my wife ever even seeing, well, you were lucky to see them in the flesh, but then to have to meet them was extraordinary. So that's definitely been one of the highlights of the year.
I love that. Using the language as well. That is a bit showy, Offie, but in a good way.
Yes. And the story just very quickly ends because the second state visit was the Emir of Qatar. And again, the same setup. King introduces the Emir and he comes to me and instead of saying this is the newly installed Lord Mayor, he said this is Lord Mayor of Westminster, to which the King also then says, oh, and by the way, he speaks fluent Japanese. So the King thinks I speak fluent Japanese.
I thought you were going to say that you sort of addressed him in Arabic or something.
No. Didn't want to show off.
No,
too
quite.
Much.
Mm. Can we talk about that Christmas tree?
Yes, please. What is so extraordinary is, I don't know if your listeners know about the history of this extraordinary position that one is in terms of the overseas visit you do. Unlike the Lord Mayor of the City of London, who spends half his or her year out banging the drum for the UK and travelling the overseas, the only really official visit that you do as Lord Mayor of Westminster is to go to Oslo. I mean, you know, to be honest, there's a lot to do in the borough of Westminster, so why would you leave when there's so much? And you do go to Oslo. The reason you go to Oslo is because of the Christmas tree. And that is a tree that was donated by Norway to the UK, not to Westminster, but to the UK as a thank you for the help we gave when, unfortunately, the Nazis invaded Norway. The king at the time and also the government decided to go into exile and they found a home, a welcome home here in the UK in London. And it's as a result of that thank you that forever since the 1945, I think it was, they have donated a Norwegian spruce tree, which is a wonderful gift. It is cut, and as Lord Mayor, you go to Oslo, you meet the Mayor of Oslo, you're sort of taken up into a forest near Oslo. There's an environment which is very conducive, and it's been set up that way for many years, and you cut the tree. Well, I say you cut the tree. There's a great photo op of me and the Mayor of Oslo. And then some great big Norwegian hunk comes along with a chainsaw and cuts it down. But the tree that I cut was 57 years old. They are normally around that age. It's then put onto a truck and it's then transported to the UK. It's then greeted at Trafalgar Square by myself, where I do various media interviews. And then it's erected. And then we have a ceremony at the beginning of December where the Mayor of Oslo comes to the UK, various other dignitaries. And then we have a ceremony where the tree is lit up. And as I say, it's a gift to the UK, and yet it's positioned in Westminster.
And that history behind it is quite profound, really, isn't it? It's quite serious.
It's very serious. But again, it shows the great friendship that we as a country have with our European allies, and most notably Norway. In fact, one of the things that, you know, as a Lord Mayor, you want to try and leave a couple of legacies. And one of the things I'm working on, and it's resonated really well with people that I've spoken to. In fact, everyone has said, yes, a great tick box, but I'm trying to get it over the line. Effectively, when the Christmas tree disappears and is no longer there, there's a pit that it goes into, and then there's a plaque. And I've said to my team, well, we should make a plaque that says, here lies the Christmas tree between these dates and so on, so that people know throughout the year. Everyone says that's a fantastic idea. So I'm hoping I can get that over the line before I step down on May the 14th.
Good idea.
Because I've mentioned that to the Mayor of Oslo. She's keen to come back to the UK, of course. And why wouldn't she?
No, quite.
So yeah, let's hope that I can get that across the line. One of the first things, I can't believe that this never happened before. I was the first Lord Mayor when I did cut the tree to then plant a new tree. You'd have thought that would have happened years ago. But no,
absolutely.
I'm the first one to have done that. So that will be a tradition, hopefully, that will continue.
And I'm trying to do my maths, but then in 57 years' time, someone will be chopping that one down.
They will. Absolutely. Oh. And I'll be looking down, hopefully, as we all will be.
From upstairs.
Well, hopefully, yes.
No, absolutely.
It's a great thing to be able to be involved with. And it's a national event. As I say, I go to Trafalgar Square to meet it really early. And it's the first time I've ever done live TV. And that was pretty scary.
How'd you find it?
Well, the thing that somebody once told me is don't think about who the audience you're talking to. You're talking to hundreds of thousands of people. Just think that you're talking to the person who's interviewing you. And that was sound advice.
Very sound advice. Yeah. Works on every level, that one.
It does, yes.
Keep it quite intimate, I think.
Yes.
So we've got those passions of yours. We've learnt about your faith. We have learnt about getting kids active, which is vitally important, I think, in this day and age, for their mental health as well. We've talked about Westminster and being the seat of Parliament, the royal family, so many things, industry, commerce. It has that serious element, doesn't it? You support a charity for the homeless that helps homeless people. There is that underbelly in London where there is a lot of need. A lot of people need help. And that's clearly been a priority of yours, hasn't it?
It has. And actually picking up on homeless, I mean, look, it's an issue that resonates, and we have in this city and we have across many cities. But, you know, there are wonderful organisations out there that are operating, that are doing a fantastic job. Obviously, we're trying to do our bit at the council. But as First Citizen, I've been able to see some of the work that's done by these voluntary organisations. And I would like to just mention, if I may, two Catholic organisations that do a wonderful job. The first is Father Dominic at Farm Street, and the second is the Order of Malta at St. James's Spanish Place, which has a personal connection with me because actually it's a church where I got married. I'm a parishioner there. But no, both organisations do a fantastic job of reaching out to the homeless, but they don't call them homeless people. They call them guests. So they're treated as guests. And at Farm Street, what they do is they offer a lunch, which is fantastic, warmth in an environment that is obviously warm in the winter. And I went along to assist with that. And it was wonderful to see. And they're given a hearty meal, which is fantastic. And they're given respect. And as I say, the other organisation was the Order of Malta, who meet at St. James's Spanish Place. And they meet on a Monday and a Thursday. They meet in the evening. And what's so extraordinary there is that, again, they're treated as guests, but people line up from sort of 3:30 onwards because the doors open at 6. Again, they're offered a hearty meal, but they're also offered another opportunity, which is they're offered three items that they can have. So a piece of clothing, some toiletries, etc. And that was wonderful to see. And again, I went to see what they're doing there and helped serve the food. And the reception that I got was obviously wonderful, but more importantly, the volunteers who do that. You know, they are doing that on a weekly basis. They don't shout about it, but it's a fantastic thing that these organisations out there within our wonderful city of Westminster are doing this great charitable work, and long may it continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that humility and service that you mentioned right at the head of the podcast,
though. Yeah, very much so. And I think, you know, as Catholics, we're good at that. We understand that and we do reach out. I'm not saying other faiths don't do that, but, you know, that's what I'm seeing. It was a great privilege and great honour to be able to assist and also now to talk about it, let people, you know that that is happening across our wonderful city.
Now, you've got 3 months left, so this might be a premature question, but how do you want to be remembered as Lord Mayor of Westminster?
Well, it's a very good question. How I'd like to be remembered? Somebody who banged the drum of civic service, who understood the importance of being Lord Mayor, what it means, and somebody who was honest, a good egg, who had a belief in faith and was able to shine a light on being a Catholic and also being an inspiration for certain communities, most notably, of course, kids. Talking of which, as a runner, which I am, I'm a member of something called Shaftesbury Barnet Harriers. They're a running club in North London, sharing their ground with Saracens Rugby. So I do a bit of cross-country running with them. And I only mention that is because that's instilled in me my ability to be active as a runner. But there's something which your listeners will probably know about. It's a national thing. It's called the Park Run. Now, what we do have is we have a sister in that we have the Junior Park Run. But what we don't have necessarily in Westminster, although it does happen in Paddington Rec, is a proper junior run here in Westminster. So I've been talking to the Royal Parks and I've been talking to their chief executive about couldn't they allow a junior park run to happen in, say, Hyde Park. Again, very positive response. So hopefully with a fair wind, if I could get that instilled before I leave on the 14th, again, that might be something people can look back and say, oh, I think that was the 60th Lord Mayor who got that into position. So,
no, marvellous. Yeah. Now, we are sort of approaching March, and it would be remiss of me not to mention two fairly important days, one very much for you. But Sunday the 16th of March, there'll be a Catholic civic service in Westminster Cathedral. I didn't know about that, but apparently the first time in many a moon.
That's absolutely right. Well, just to backtrack, if I may, for your listeners, as Lord Mayor of Westminster, there is also a civic service that takes place at Westminster Abbey, and that's a set piece that happens every year. It's for the stakeholders and the communities of Westminster. And it's a fantastic event, and it's hosted by Mr. Dean at the Abbey. Because, by the way, I didn't mention to your listeners that I actually wear another hat. I'm Deputy High Steward of Westminster Abbey, which is, an extraordinary privilege.
I have an extra hat, an extra chain.
Well, not an extra hat, but yes, actually, I do have an extra chain, which, again, is extraordinary. And the other thing about that is that you are normally the last person to enter the Abbey. And I have my own seat in the Abbey, which is extraordinary. And when I arrive, I'm normally met at the Great West Door by Mr. Dean, introduced to the clergy, and then I'm escorted down the aisle. Everyone has to stand for me. And I only mention that because I attended a service last autumn, the Battle of Britain Memorial. There were many services at the Abbey, but obviously I'm invited to as many as I can go to. And even prime ministers have to stand for me. So isn't
Goodness
that cool?
Me.
I know.
That is cool.
But no, coming back to the civic service that I have instigated at the behest of Father Dean at the Cathedral and His Eminence the Cardinal, they have allowed me the grace, the honour of holding a civic service, which I'm delighted about, which can hopefully shine a light on my Catholic faith, but also about the Catholic community. It is open to the communities of Westminster, and I'm hoping that we'll have a good showing. But the wonderful thing there is that the Cardinal has agreed to be the co-concelebrant, which is fantastic. All the invitations have gone out, although we're getting a bit of publicity out through some of the parishes. So I'm hoping that people will remember that. Whether or not it becomes a regular thing, I suspect not. It depends, obviously, on the Lord Mayor. But for me, it's very personal because, as I say, being a Catholic, it's great that I do the civic service in the Abbey, but I thought to myself, well, why aren't we doing one in the Cathedral?
Lovely. And that's Sunday the 16th.
16th of March.
March,
yes.
Wonderful. Now, I can't not mention this. Thursday the 20th of March, something rather extraordinary is happening to you.
Well, indeed. I mean, this was, again, I've used the word extraordinary. This suddenly came out of the blue. I had no idea. Well, did I have any idea that something was happening? I suppose in many ways I didn't. And I say I didn't because I'm a Catinian, by the way. And for your listeners who may or may not know about that, that's a sort of organisation where like-minded Catholics come together. So one of my Catinian colleagues did contact me some time ago and just asked for a sort of synopsis of who I am, what I've done. To cut a long story short, yes, I've been given the great honour, a papal knighthood, and it's the Knight of St. Gregory. So KSG, I'll be able to put that after my name. And I'm really humbled by the whole thing. I mean, it's something I would never have thought could have happened. Funny enough, my late father, he was a KSG, which is interesting. And a dear friend of ours, who unfortunately passed away 10 years ago, was also a KSG. And I only say that because there is a military uniform that comes with the honour, which again is bizarre. And the person I mentioned who was a late friend of my father's who died 10 years ago, who was a KSG, he invested in this military uniform. My late father never did. So on Christmas Eve, both my wife and myself went up to see his widow, And, you know, 10 years had passed since he died. She'd thrown a lot of his stuff out, but for some reason she kept this uniform. So I went, and he was about my height, 6'2". So the jacket fits, the trousers, I'm quite slim, as I mentioned, I'm a runner. He wasn't a runner, so he was quite...
a bigger chap.
A bigger chap. So I've had the trousers altered. So I've inherited that, which is wonderful. It's green, and I obviously get a badge. But as we were leaving, Fiona, his widow, said, oh, and by the way, I've also found these boots, which go with the uniform. Well, of course, you know, shoes and boots, size and stuff. But can you believe he's the...
They don't fit.
Yeah, I do. I'm a size 11, he was an 11. So there we go.
Once again, a little providential, I think. Do you get a sword?
Well, there is a sword and there is a hat. I haven't got the sword and I haven't got the hat. I think I'll leave that to one side. But no, I mean, what an honour. And yes, I'm going to have a service, and that will be in the cathedral. There'll be a mass. It's the 5:30 mass. And then I'm hoping to take some guests across and have a reception.
Marvellous.
So yeah, no, it's a wonderful honour. And as I say, had absolutely no idea that it was coming. So thank you for anyone who supported my nomination. But as I say, it is a papal nomination.
Yeah.
And it's a papal award. So it goes through the apostolic nuncio in this country, and then it's fed through to Vatican, my understanding, and yeah.
So, final question. What comes next?
Well, I'll... a holiday to Japan.
Oh, nice.
Well, I hope so. I mean... Normally, I would go to Japan or have a holiday during the year. But, you know, why would you when you're in this position? I mean, you know, why do I want to leave Westminster and be out of action for, you know, a week or so? There's so much to do. And so, yes, so I will step down on the 14th of May, and I will hopefully have a break. And then I'll revert back to being a councillor, representing my wonderful community in Regent's Park, hopefully giving me lots of casework. And serving that wonderful community. I will also become what is called a locum tenens. Sitting councillors who were Lord Mayors, and they create a pool of deputies where the Lord Mayor who comes into that position, if he or she can't do an event and we think it's worthy to support, which mostly we do, it'll be filtered down to that group. So
good to use that experience, isn't it?
Wonderful, yes, of course. And so hopefully I will be able to pick up the baton for a number of those and still wear this wonderful civic role, which, as I say, has been quite extraordinary. I mean, I really cannot emphasise that. To be chosen is one thing, and then to actually see it through in all its glory is just wonderful. And as I said to you, it has been my faith that's been a real guiding force for me. And I'm glad I've had that behind me.
Well, wonderful to hear. And it's been fascinating for me. So thank you so much for your time. Really, really interesting. And for your service and all the great work you're doing. I hope the next 3 months are pleasant. And then I hope you get a bit of a break.
Well, that's very kind. And thank you for inviting me.
Pleasure. Thanks ever so much.
Thank you.